Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Any ideas that will work to help your favorite teams? Let them know about it by calling 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 12:02 on this Thursday midday. Melusis with you. 888-808-1019. In for BT and Sal. Happy holidays, one and all. Let's head out to Queensbound. Kicking off the noon hour. It's Charlie. It's the fan. What's going on, Charlie?
Hello?
Hello, Charlie.
Hello?
Oh, boy. You try twice, and then it's... Then I don't know. Annabelle. Bridgeport, Connecticut. What's going on, Annabelle?
Moose, my man.
Annabelle.
How you doing, buddy?
What's going on? How are you?
Feliz Navidad and a happy new year to you and your family.
You as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you for taking my call. I got 2 points, one on the Jets, and I know you're talking about football, but I would like to bring something with the Mets.
Okay.
I would like the Mets, maybe I'm dreaming and I'm asking for a witch. I want the Mets to pick up Bregman to play third base.
All right, and then what are you doing with, what are you going to do with Pete?
With Pete, if the Mets signs him, we can use him as a DH.
And have Vientos playing first.
First, and split him in between. And split him in between. Split them in between, you know, switch here, you know, and that's what I like the Mets to do. Also, Martell, the Mets should trade Martell. What's he going to play? Martell should be moved for relief pitching or whatever they can get, or prosperous, whatever they can do.
Yeah, I think you combine Marte with Mattel, the company that makes toys, Starling Martell.
Yeah. So anyway, so as I'm going now.
That's a terrible one. Anyway, Annabelle, listen, I agree. More if you're the Mets, right? Why not? I mean, if you are looking at it and you're saying to yourself that, you know, yes, the world is your oyster. It's Steve Cohen and the Mets. So can you go out there and conceivably sign Bregman? Yes. And have Alonso back on a short-term deal for sure. Then what do you do with Vientos? Well, you got Vientos be your DH, and you could have him play spot duty at first base, relieving Pete Alonso, and then he could DH. It's just more of more if you're a Met fan. That's the world that we live in today's day and age, when you have the richest singular owner in all of Major League Baseball. The world is your oyster. Anything is possible. Like some of those things you'd call up on an overnight on WFAN, the host would say to yourself, you're crazy. That's never going to happen. Well, now anything is possible. So, yeah, you know, Vientos is a guy where I don't exactly know where his ceiling is. I really don't. I don't know exactly where he is going to go and how good of a player he's going to be. I think he's a wonderful young talent. I think that got mishandled early on in his career, took advantage of an opportunity last year, and then let his talent meet the moment in the postseason. I think there's a lot to be excited about when you're looking at Mark Vientos and what he potentially is going to be for this Met team. Rivervale, New Jersey, we go. It's Eric. It's the fan. What's going on, Eric?
Moose, how are you doing, brother?
How are you, buddy?
I'm all right, man. Survived Christmas. And I'm happy to hear that you did as well. So good for you, my friend.
Yeah, I survived it. I mean, it was we survived. We survived. I lived to fight another day. That's it. Yes.
That's it, man. That's it. Now it's
just
now
not peeking out my head out of the foxhole all that much. That's all.
Smart man.
Yeah.
Yeah, now it's putting everything together and, you know, cardboard like a warehouse, you know, the whole nine yards.
Yeah. The house is just a complete and utter mess. Chip is running wild. It's just not a good scene. My wife, we got home late last night from her sister-in-law's, and She's like, well, when are you out tomorrow morning? I'm like, 8 a.m. She's like, well, who's cleaning the house? I go, I don't know. Not me. That didn't go over well. That did not go over all that well. So, I mean, I don't know what's like, my wife is not happy with me right now. I understand that and everything. The kids are happy. They had a sleepover last night at my sister-in-law's, so they're all fired up, all excited. I was out walking Chip this morning. He was taken care of. He was bouncing around, all excited. So that's all good. Now, me and my wife, I don't know. Not all that great right now, but we'll be okay.
As you say, you live to fight another day.
That's it. You got it, Adam.
And the question I have for you, well, really, you know, more of the Jets here. And I did have a quick Yankees question for you, if I got a sec. But with the Jets, I think, you know, the Aaron Rodgers thing, I mean, Bobby had a great point, and I was thinking about it yesterday. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is going to break the single-season passing record for the Jets, and they're not even going to be close to 500. If that doesn't tell you all you need to know about the Jets, then I don't know what else will. And I just don't see another option. You know, I hear people talking about Justin Fields or, you know, whatever other retread quarterback you want to bring in. I mean, Jameis Winston, yeah, he'd be entertaining for sure. But is he going to win football games? You know, TBD. I mean, the real question for the Jets is, who is going to be coaching this football team? And if Aaron Rodgers doesn't impact our ability to get the likes of a Vrabel or anybody else, then I agree with you. Let them make the decision. If they don't want him, fine. I mean, obviously, I'm taking Vrabel over Aaron Rodgers any day of the week. So that's the question, right? I mean, it's like, who is going to be coaching this team? Because that's where this ship misses all the time. I mean, they just cannot figure out how to get somebody to lead this organization, and Woody Johnson meddling on top of it just makes this a complete and utter disaster.
I mean, the big question number one is, I mentioned earlier, is Woody Johnson gonna get the hell out of the way? Like, that's the big thing you need to ask yourself if you're a Jet fan. That's got to be priority number one. Is he gonna hire football people to do their job and then not meddle when things maybe don't go exactly according to plan? Or he's not going to influence. Like, I understand he owns the team. I understand. But there's a role to that as well. There really is. And we have seen here with Woody Johnson over 25 years, Woody and success has not gone hand in hand. The Jets have not made the playoffs since 2010. And that's my whole argument with Rodgers. Take everything that comes along with the equation. I'm not telling you he's the greatest teammate in the world. I'm not saying he's not going to say some kooky things here or there and make you scratch your head, and maybe he doesn't put enough blame on himself. All of these things. Like, there's not an argument to be made where you can roll back with him. You know, I asked Baldinger the question yesterday. He said no, he would not bring back. He's not making the same throws. Well, I understand that on film. I also think this is a really poorly coached team, that if you are able to instill a little bit of culture, a little bit of accountability within the building, and you're having Rodgers just be the quarterback of the team, that the Jets can go out there and win. Will that happen? I mean, maybe we're too far gone. Maybe Woody's like, I just want out. I need to fumigate the area. We're going to move on. We want no part of Aaron Rodgers. There's that part of the equation as well, too.
Sure. Yet to be seen. Woody Johnson seems to never get out of the way. So, if he wants to win, he's going to have to learn that that's the only option. I mean, meddling owners never goes well. You know, all the organizations I see that are successful in the NFL, their owners are signing checks. That's it. That's all they need.
And Eric, that's what you want to have happen, right? And the comparison is really Dolan in the Knicks, where he was meddling, he was involved, and it didn't equate to success. That's what. You know, the issue that you have with the Jets and Woody Johnson, that is there. It really is. It's amazing when you think about, you know, Giant fans are ultra critical of John Mara and the Giants co-owner for, you know, being, you know, Jerry Jones-esque, or being this meddling owner, or it's his way or the highway. Well, really, it's the other guy that's in that building out at MetLife Stadium. It's really Woody Johnson and not necessarily John Mara. Not saying that people don't deserve blame. You own the team. The team has been bad. You're going to get blamed. But in terms of being a meddler to that level, that's more Woody than anything else. Artie in Brooklyn. What's going on, Artie?
Hey, Rose. Happy holidays, bud. Thanks for taking the call.
You know
what I don't understand? Vrabel's there, right? And you go back and forth whether he would take the job. Why don't you do, back in the day, Jimmy Johnson used to do this thing with the draft. You sign the contract now, or I'm not drafting you. Why don't you go there, tell him, listen, we want you. Tell me what you want. Whatever it is, and see if we could, you know, work it out, whatever. And then if he says, I'm going to wait for the other teams, you got to go somewhere else. You got to be active with it. I mean, Johnson's doing all these moves, firing Salah and stuff like that. Why don't he step up now and go get the best coach available? And I really do find it hard to believe that somebody like that, there's no way that this happened. That Belichick actually called the Jets.
Well, he called Tannenbaum, the 33rd team, reached out. See if they'd be
able to
have a conversation.
And you're telling me right now, if there was a press conference and they said, Belichick's the new coach for the Jets, even if it's 3 years, you wouldn't be ecstatic over it?
No, God. I would not. That's a bridge too far.
What? I don't know what that means.
Listen, Artie, at some point, right, you have to have a little bit of pride. Do you not?
Get pride, man. Get the best guy in here.
Well, Artie.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick has gone out of his way to embarrass the Jets.
I got you.
As a coach and as a broadcaster.
I got you.
Right? So that it shows you just how desperate Belichick is. That he would then go down that road, right? It just shows you how desperate. The idea of that ever happening, to me, is too far-fetched. Woody and Belichick never spoke.
Okay.
He took the job. He took the job at North Carolina.
So go get Vrabel.
He's going to enjoy ACC football.
Go get Vrabel. Johnson, Woody, you listening? Go get him. All right. Thanks, Mom.
All right, Artie. Appreciate the call. By the way, you ever sign up for things around the holidays? We'll get back to your calls for a second, right? Where, you know, you're looking for like a percentage off, you're doing some shopping and whatever, and they're like, well, if you sign up for text messages, you get, you know, 10% off, 15% off, free shipping, all these different things, right? So, you know, around the holidays, like you forget what exactly you signed up for. So you get like just absolutely bombarded, like I do at least, right? Because I don't unsubscribe to them, all right? And you can, but I get bombarded with these text messages. One of those that I get bombarded with, I just got a text from the New York Rangers ticket office, which is amazingly enough. And it just infuriates me. Like, it really does, because the Rangers stink right now, and it's tough to watch. But here we go. Keep the holiday cheer going with no fees on January games. They gave me a code. Seat selection will unlock the exclusive offer before it ends tonight. How about this? If you're the New York Rangers, I'll go buy some tickets if you bring about some change within the franchise. I don't know if Rami also got that same text about 25 minutes ago.
Did you same get, text yeah. at 12:01.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, about 12 minutes ago. Right when I was getting set to kick off the noon hour. How about this? Go out and fire the president and general manager, Chris Drury. I'll buy some tickets. I won't even use the promo code. I'll go buy some tickets. I'll take the trio of Melusis boys to a Ranger game come January. How about that? Because you know what? Something needs to change. The team stinks. It is a terrible watch right now. I do not need, on December 26th, the text from the New York Rangers telling me, you know what? Come out and enjoy all the action in January of New York Rangers hockey when they've got 3-14 in their last 17 games. Healthy scratch of Chris Kreider. They won't go out there and bench, Mika Zibanejad. They're handling Goodrow and Trouba terribly. The only game that they've won where they actually played well, Drury spoke to the team beforehand. And then after games, these guys have got no answers whatsoever. And the guy that you're looking to start fights before games, as you saw down in Jersey Monday afternoon after they got boat raced by the New Jersey Devils 5-0, is Vincent Trocheck. Yeah, I'll go buy tickets. Sign me up.
Well, better yet, you can go on the secondary market and get them for $30. That's how bad they've been.
I mean, it's terrible. I don't need a text the day after Christmas about buying Ranger tickets. Let me unsubscribe. Can you unsubscribe to these?
That's what they make it impossible. But what I always do is I report them as junk. Because if enough people report the number as junk, then they get like flagged or something.
I don't need tickets. It's tough to watch the games on TV right now. You think I want to go to the Garden? Kids running wild, popcorn, hot dogs, pretzels. Run back and forth to the bathroom. Watching the Rangers lose 5-0. KC, Bradley Beach. What's going on, KC?
Hey, Moose. Great to hear you back on the airwaves, buddy.
Thanks, KC. What's on your mind?
You're welcome, pal. Hey, just real quick, I just wanted to make a Met point and see what you thought of it. And then before I did hang up, I just wanted to see your two picks. If you were picking for the college football national championship, the two teams that you think would be in it. But my Met point is I would love to re-sign Pete. You know, I'm a Met guy my whole life. I'd love to re-sign Pete. I Bregman, forget it. I would stay the hell away from him. I mean, his numbers are on the decline anyway, and he wants way too many years. I would just stay away from him. Keep Vientos over there. Sign Pete. I would sign Tanner Scott or another setup guy. Even I know Robertson's 40, but he seems to have a rubber arm. He's always there. He's always playing. And then what's going on with Iglesias? I know he's 35 years old, but he was a great chemistry guy. He could hit 300 in his sleep. You know what I mean? He'd be a great utility guy to have too, unless they have too many utility guys. I don't know.
But well, he did that last year. I mean, you also want to give Acuna a little bit of burn. You've got McNeil. McNeil's still part of the team as well. I agree with you about Iglesias. When do you squeeze the lemon? When do you realize, well, maybe I got everything I could out of OMG, out of Candelita, and maybe it's time to move on. Like, you can't go out there and continue to replicate history, right? Maybe as an organization. I'm not telling you Iglesias was not a leader. Wonderful story, really was, using the heavier bat down in the minor leagues at the behest of J.D. Martinez, and obviously reinvigorated his career with the Mets and Queens this past year. Alonso will get signed. Like, I firmly believe, you look at the marketplace and you look at names, like, he's not going to San Francisco. Seattle is the place where offensive players go to die. He's not going to Seattle. Yep. I don't think he's going to Texas. Like, they, you know, if you're Pete Alonso, what you would want to do is, I would imagine you'd want to sign a short-term deal, have a big offensive year, and opt out after 2025 and get another bite at the apple after next season and see exactly where that contract can be.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's where I think Alonso is right now. I think the Mets have made it perfectly clear in free agency they want him back. I think they do. He has made it perfectly clear that he wants to be in Queens. I think when you look at Alonso as well, I think he's more valuable to the Mets than he is to other teams, given the decline that you've seen, whether it be the slugging percentage, the OPS, the dips in the batting average, or the roller coaster nature of his batting average during the course of years. I think ultimately, though, Alonso will be back.
What do you think about the setup guy? I mean, you think they're going to go after one of these guys?
Yeah, I think they're going to address the bullpen. Yes, for sure. I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, KC, I think you've seen, you know, that marketplace slow to develop in free agency, but seeing the Mets address the starting rotation with, you know, bringing Sean Manaea back, signing Frankie Montas, signing Clay Holmes to go along with Peterson and Kodai Senga. We're waiting on the decision from Roki Sasaki to see exactly where he is. And the Mets are still in the race for that 23-year-old Japanese phenom. So are the Yankees. We'll see exactly where he does end up. But the bullpen will be addressed, for sure. Let's head out to Bergen County. It's Jay. It's the fan. What's going on, Jay?
Hey, Jay Moose. How you doing?
Jay, I'm doing well, buddy. How are you, man?
Good. I want to talk about the Giants.
Yeah.
Another hard season in the books. You know, hopefully it ends the right way this Sunday. Another loss. 0-9 at home. 100 years. Awesome. So I think Daboll's got to go, for one. I think he just can't survive this year. It's tough. He's a great guy, great football mind, but I just think it's too much and he's got to go. So I have a replacement everyone's been talking about for the Jets, but I think he'd be perfect, the Giant coach, and that's Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I think Vrabel could work in a lot of different areas. I do.
Now, I think the question, it worked out.
I mean, the question you'd have is what kind of control he wants. If you're keeping the general manager, obviously, in Joe Shane, the relationship between Shane and Vrabel. Could Vrabel work with the Jets? Could he work with the Giants? Yeah, I think Mike Vrabel to me is the top of, if you're looking for a head coach in the National Football League, he would be the top, along with Ben Johnson, with the Lions offensive coordinator, be at the top of my list.
I think if you look at our defense specifically in the beginning of the year, while we were still healthy and competing for games, you know, Shane Bowen, who was Vrabel's old defensive coordinator in Tennessee, you know, he's in charge. He's running the unit. So maybe we can reunite them, keep what's working for us in our defense, and then hire someone to fix our offense. See what happens in the draft. Maybe draft a quarterback and see what happens.
Yeah, but Jay, I don't think it's the worst stab in the world. I've not been impressed with Bowen as a defensive coordinator. I don't know if he necessarily would have to come back if Vrabel is your head coach, but I get the connectivity that you're mentioning there. Understand it, connecting the dots. But with Daboll, if he sticks around as the Giants head coach, the one thing I'd like to see him give up is play calling duties moving forward and be the head coach of the entire team. We'll find out exactly, you know, the Monday following their finale against the Philadelphia Eagles, whether or not the Giants head coach is still going to remain in that position long term, or if the Giants feel that there's necessary change at hand.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 12:28 on a Thursday afternoon. Mark Melusis with you. In for BT and Sal, 888-808-1019. Floors wide open. Mets, Yankees, Jets, Giants. Their season's obviously disastrous, winding down. Hoboken we go. Dan, what's going on, Danny?
Hey, Moose. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Dan. How about yourself?
Good, pal. Hey, I want to make a couple Yankee points, but boy, I tell you, these NFL games between Thanksgiving and the couple games yesterday, If they're not marching Beyonce out there on a horse, I don't know who's watching these games, man.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I get it. You know, the National Football League is king. I kicked off the program this morning. The NBA had a better product than the NFL did yesterday. They really did.
Definitely.
I mean, and you had about 80 people covering the two Netflix games as well. So, but the Baltimore Texan game was non-competitive. And once Freiermuth fumbled the ball for the Steelers, that was it. The game was over.
It was over.
I mean, it was absolutely over. There was nothing to watch. Nothing to break down. Didn't come down. There was nothing to watch. I mean, once nothing. Lamar ran it in to make it 24-2 yesterday, we flipped over. We watched a little Top Gun. We watched a little Christmas Story. We flipped over, watched a little 76ers and Celtics as well. We were flipping around where we were at my in-laws yesterday in Westchester.
Yeah, I even thought, you know, with Lamar, I thought after a while they would have, you know, yelled uncle and taken him out. I thought they left him in a little bit longer than they really should have, but I don't know.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. What else you got, Dan? Anything else?
Oh, well, Yankee-wise, hey, two quickies. You think with Dominguez, you know, out in the outfield, you think there's any chance that Cashman still has any interest in this Teoscar or Santander? I just don't get the feeling that they have a lot of confidence in making him one of the starting outfield positions. Do you?
I think Cashman made it perfectly clear at the winter meetings with Dominguez. He's going to start every day, whether it be in the major leagues or whether it be a AAA. So do I think they have confidence in Dominguez? I think I don't think defensively. I think offensively they believe he's going to be really good. You know, defensively, we saw the issues in left field a year ago. And so that's why there's the concern there. I don't think he's ever going to be a great defensive outfielder, regardless of the position that he plays. But his impact is going to be what he can provide offensively. And I think in that 8-9 game stretch before he suffered the UCL injury the previous year, I think he really excited a lot of Yankee fans to what his promise and what his potential could be. Now, sometimes potential gets realized, sometimes it does not. Do I think the Yankees are in on Teoscar Hernandez or Santander? No, I do not.
Hey, do you think, you know, would you give a flyer on Glaber if they could get him back on the cheap couple years, $40 million, or you think you're over him?
I'm one that's not, Dan. I think the Yankees, I'm probably in the minority with that one. I think there are a lot of Yankee fans that want to turn the page, that want to go in another direction. You know, you move Jazz Chisholm to second base. I think he's very, very talented. I think focus and Gleyber Torres don't necessarily go hand in hand. I think that's the concerning aspect to it. I think he gets in his own way. It's a shame because he's not without talent and ability. And when he plays well, he's really impactful. As you saw when they threw him at the top of the lineup toward the tail end of the season, Gleyber Torres was brilliant. I mean, that's not couching anything. He just was. New Rochelle we go. It's Rob. What's going on, Robbie?
Moose, happy holidays to you, my friend.
Rob, happy holidays to you. How's the Packers are treating you well this year, Robbie?
Yeah, but first, Moose, one thing. My older brother passed away a couple of weeks. He was a big fan of yours. Moose listens to you every Saturday and Sunday, okay? That's first. And it's holiday's been a little, you know, hasn't been like it used to be. But
Rob, I'm sorry to hear that. What was your brother's name?
Name was Paul, and he listened to you every Saturday and Sunday. He loved your work. You're an old school guy. He grew up with your Mike and the Mad Dog and whatever. So he's in a... I guess he's listening to you upstairs now, Moose. But anyway.
Well, Rob, I'm sorry to hear that. All right. My thoughts and prayers are with you. All right, Rob?
Yes. No, a few things. You've never with the Packers. Listen, they need to beat Minnesota because Minnesota had us 28-0 in Green Bay just for the psyche going into the playoffs. Because if you put all those four teams together, the Eagles, the Lions, the Vikings, and the Packers, anybody could beat anybody, Moose. It's who's gonna play well, who's gonna run the ball. The Eagles got the advantage. They got Barkley. But Green Bay right now, well, listen, the last game they played, the Saints had no players out there. And like the last caller said, Moose, yesterday, the Steelers didn't need the game. The Texans didn't need the game. And a J.J. Watt doing those games. At least you had Greg Olsen the second game trying to make light of a game that was terrible.
Ugh.
But they had all these. And the other thing, Moose, listen, Beyonce thinks he's Dale Evans. I don't know what they're trying to do with that half. I put the Wolf of Wall Street on because I couldn't watch that. It's complete nonsense as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, Moose, what you said about, I guess the NBA did have a good day. But the ratings are still with the NFL.
Oh, I'm not saying they're not. There's more interest. It has nothing to do with the fact that I never thought the NBA would outrate the National Football League. The NFL is king Kong. I mean, they are. It's a ratings bonanza. You stick anything, you stick that shield on anything, people will watch.
At least the NFL don't have no championship game before the end of the season. Like that NBA, whatever they were trying to do with the Bucks, that midseason tournament.
Yeah, the NBA Cup. But here's the deal. People that criticize, and Rob, thanks a lot for the call, and sorry to hear about your brother. My thoughts and our thoughts here at the station, Rob, a longtime caller to WFAN, our thoughts here from everyone at the station are with you and your family, Rob. The NBA Cup, people that criticize it, like, what do you want the NBA to do? Like, what do you want them to do? Like, hey, you not try anything different? You want them to sit on their hands, do nothing? Like, not learn from what other leagues are doing. The Premier League does it. Like, international soccer does it. Like, what do you want the league to do? The league sees it, right? This league sees the ratings are depreciated. The league sees the product on the court is not particularly good. What do you want to sit on their hands and do nothing? Be like, well, it's not really a championship. Who looks at the NBA Cup as a real title? Like, who looks at it as a real title? I mean, if the Knicks won it, would we have a parade down the canyon of heroes for the NBA Cup?
Oh, no. We'd have a banner.
Raising a banner? No, come on now. They're trying something different because nobody's watching in the regular season. They're trying to grab you, the viewer, their attention. So they're trying to do something different. Is it a little fugazi? For sure it is. But what do you want them to do? Nobody's watching in the regular season to begin with. And you see all these hot takes and be like, oh, it's nonsense. It's garbage. Who cares? It's a fictitious championship. Yes, it's true. It doesn't make any, like, I get it, but nobody was watching to begin with. That's the issue. And yesterday, listen, I kicked off the program this morning telling you, there's no way. I mean, the NFL would outrate the NBA, you know, every day of the week and, you know, 80 times on Sunday. That's where the National Football League popularity is. People are still locked into that game at, you know, 31-2 yesterday. 24-2. As Stroud is telling everybody after the game, you know, he wasn't, couldn't meet the moment emotionally, not checked in. What are you talking about? But if you look at the game day on the whole, and you want to look at competition and product, yesterday was a good day for Adam Silver in the NBA. That's all. In the end, will it get more eyeballs to the sets yesterday? No. Was the product better? It was. 12:37. Dove's mixing a little avocado across the way. Is that correct? Avocado? Look at that. I know Dove's ways. I know a man, when I look across the way, when he has got the fork out and he's mincing or he's crushing up the avocado for a little avocado toast. There you go. Beautiful. I see the rind in the pit as well right now. Beautiful, Dove. That's a tremendous-looking avocado. Very fresh. Well done. 12:37. Melusis with you. In for BT and Sal. 888-808-1019.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. Ah! The Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, quarter one, Mark Melusis with you on this Thursday midday. In for BT and Sal, rolling right up until 2. Chris McMonagle, Keith McPherson, they come your way then. Let's head out to Glen Rock. It's Tom. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, the Giants, they have a deep institutional rot.
Mm.
And at the top of the chain. And if you look back over the last 13 seasons, the number of times that we've backed up the truck and ran it back, and Nate Solder or Olivier Vernon, and they don't know how to build a team. They don't know how to evaluate talent, and they have this guy in charge who is extremely inefficient as an owner. And yeah, you can't sit here and we can't say we know that he told him with Joe. We don't know any of that. But at the end of the day, he's not putting the pieces on the field from wherever they come, where we can be confident that we're heading in the right direction. It's been the same over and over. And you brought up a great point. You know, if the Giants go out and they get this Cam Ward or Stuart Sanders, you know, there's a very high probability, in my opinion, that they don't fire Shane and Daboll after we lose next year. We'll fire him just like the Bears did with Trubisky, Justin Fields, and what they did with Caleb Williams. It's just, it's wash, rinse, well, repeat with these Giants.
The coach they fired was Eberflus.
No, they fired, if you go back, Fields had one head coach as well, and they fired him the next year, and they hired Eberflus.
I got you. Well, I thought you were talking about Caleb Williams this year. Yeah, I brought up the example of the Bears. I think, you know, you got to take note. That's where it comes down to, if you have any doubt from a head coaching position. You have to draft the quarterback, develop the quarterback, put that a quarterback in a position to be nurtured, and put him in a position to go out there and be successful. So if you have any doubts that Dabes is capable of doing that, then you got to move on. Like, that's ultimately the decision the Giants have got to make, because you can't have that moment next year. Like, that moment can't happen. You draft Sanders or Cam Ward, and then all of a sudden you come to the realization as an organization, we've got the wrong head coach, and then you're in the constant state of transition early on in a quarterback's career.
100% agree, but I'll take it a step further. You know, as the owner, I do believe that if he wants to hit the reset button and draft a quarterback, if he has decided that is the way he needs to go, then he should fire Shane and Daboll. Because by keeping them, the risk is very high that they're going to end up in the same situation as Caleb Williams. If they hire a new coach, new quarterback, no matter what happens next year, that new coach and new quarterback will come back for the second season.
If they hire a new coach, yes, I would agree with you there. If you start anew, yeah, I mean, there are better odds of sticking with that new head coach than there is with the old regime, but that's where it's got to be made, where they're in a comfortable spot that regardless of the results, and the results have been really bad this season. They've lost 10 straight, new franchise record. They could conceivably lose 12 straight to close out this NFL regular season. Planes flying overhead, asking for change, calling the organization a dumpster fire. Like, it's really bad. Place is going to be quarter filled on Sunday with Anthony Richardson and the Indianapolis Colts in town. Like, it's been a really bad year. Like, a long 100th year for the New York Giants. Can't wait for the season to come to an end. With all of that, though, can you withstand the public pressure because you still believe in the two men that you hired 3 years ago? I mean, I can't answer that question. Like, we can give opinions. And my opinion is, and I've made it, I think the general manager is coming back. I think the head coach, the seat for Daboll is hotter than there is the general manager. But I think the GM is coming back. I think there's a percentage chance that gets slimmer by the day of them both returning based on what you've seen on the field. Game plans. I thought Tiki had a good breakdown the other day looking at, you know, dropping back, throwing the ball 39 times against the Atlanta Falcons, only running it on 14 occasions. What are you doing as a head coach? I think taking over and calling plays, I think is not been great for Brian Daboll. I'd rather him be the head coach of the entire team. So I think the GM stays trending toward the head coach going. I don't think it would be the other way around. Anyone that tells you that they're going to keep the head coach and fire the GM, I mean, I think then they'd both go. Bayonne, we go. It's John. It's the fan. What's going on, John?
My senior moose.
Johnny, how you doing, buddy?
Sunday, because it's mostly, it's hopeful. I'm doing good, Moose. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. When it comes down to, you know, I'm a Sunday fanatic with you at baseball, but on football, I'm a Rams fan, but I'm going to bring this in because I know mostly concentrate on the Giants, Jets on Sunday. and you should, because that's the home teams around here. But you got to look at Sean McVay. What a fantastic head coach he is. You lose Donald in the beginning of the year's retirement, and these guys are fighting for first place. I mean, one of the greatest defensive linemen in football, he steps aside. The defense looks weak in the beginning, then they gel, and then they're one of the top defenses around. And it all boils down to the chemistry. Now, you look at every coach that leaves there, and every year he loses a coach, they become great. Look at the guy in the Vikings. Look at the guy who was with the Chargers. He did pretty good. Look at Atlanta with Morris. I mean, that's a football chemistry right there. That organization's great.
No, it is, and they gambled, and it paid off with Matthew Stafford. I think it's helped when you draft a guy like Jared Verse out of Florida State, and Verse has been really, really good year number one, playing one of the outside linebacker spots for the Los Angeles Rams. At times has been unblockable. He's been fantastic. Kyren Williams running the football. Puka Nacua, as long as he's on the field, has been the go-to guy, not Cooper Kupp, for Stafford throwing it. Yeah, and the Rams right now going to the final 2 weeks of the NFL regular season, controlling their own destiny. They win out, they win the division, they'll host a wild card game. It's fantastic.
And when it comes down to Moose, you know, the general manager, he's a smart man. I mean, to make that trade with the Lions, it worked both ways. I like Goff. I really like Goff. I think he's going to be a number one quarterback down the road. He's right up there this year. But to get Stafford, he's amazing. You know, he had Johnson as
a line they used to say about
the Lions, but that's all he has.
Yeah, I mean, the steel line that they used to say about Vinny Testaverde. You know, Stafford's got an arm from God. I mean, that's it. I mean, he could throw it from all different angles. He can touch, beautiful. Like, there's nothing that Matthew Stafford can't do throwing the football. And it was a perfect marriage. He was hungry. Obviously, all the losing in Detroit. The Rams had come to the realization as an organization that Goff was not going to be good enough after what transpired in that Super Bowl against the New England Patriots. So they went out and get Stafford, and they have the immediate success year one, beating Joe Burrow and the Bengals in the bowl and win the Lombardi Trophy. Bushwick, we go. It's Carlos. It's the fan. What's going on, Carlos?
How you doing? I love you, Moose. You're really great.
Thank you, Carlos. I love you, too.
I wasn't talking about the NBA Cup. Everybody say they are trying to do the same they do in Europe with the cups in soccer, but doesn't have nothing to do one thing with the other. First thing is that in soccer, in most of the biggest leagues in the world, they don't have playoffs. So the cup give them the opportunity of have something like playoffs. They don't have playoffs. They play one game against each team in the league.
Right,
two times, and who have more points won the league. That's the first thing. The second thing is that the reason of the cups in Europe, for example, the Premier League, is because they have I don't know how to say that, like less important leagues in England.
Right,
and the teams in the less important in the second have to play against the teams in the first league. So. A small town.
I mean,
like
Carlos, it's. I just mentioned that Silver got the idea from European soccer. That's the point. It's not one and the same. It's not exactly the same, but he's trying to generate interest in the NBA in the regular season. That's the point.
I completely understand, but the reason why the cups in Europe generate interest is because of that.
Gotcha. And because of secondary leagues playing the top leagues.
In the Premier League. Exactly. It's like the G League play against the NBA team and have that opportunity. Because in Europe, most of the teams are not owned by the biggest organization. Most of the teams have their own owners, to say that way.
I got you. So you pointed out the differences between the two. Maybe Silver should do that. Maybe should start. And Carlos, thanks a lot for the call. I didn't know. I'm not a huge soccer fan, to be honest. I'm not really a soccer fan. I watch the World Cup. I'm not watching English Premier League. I'm not knocking those that do. I'll watch some of the MLS at times, but am I locked in? No, I wouldn't say in any way, shape, or form. I would not. But interesting. Yeah, maybe that's the next thing for Silver to do. Have the G League start playing the NBA and have those kind of games. Maybe you go down that route. Desperate times call for desperate measures. But in the end, Christmas Day, well, it was a good day for Silver and the guys in the association. No question about that.